It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, I think I started it.
Okay.
Let's hope so. Kitten, are you very excited to do podcasting? He just got up and he's like, oh, man. Oh, but now his sister's annoying him, so that'll work. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is both a wildly successful example of the success of podcasting and a wildly cautionary tale against podcasting.
Both of those things.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 238.
That was going to be my guess.
Okay.
It's getting darker pretty soon here, before too long. You'll be coming in and it'll already be dark when you show up. I think it might be dark when you leave tonight. I don't know.
Probably.
We're getting there.
Yep.
It's getting colder. And darker. And drearier.
It's awesome.
You may notice a little weird tone in my voice. I have been very sick with a head cold that turned into a chest cold. And yesterday I sounded like Louis Armstrong. So this is an improvement.
Hmm. But
if I sound weird to you guys, that's why.
Okay. Sorry to hear you weren't feeling good.
Yeah. Well, it was the thing Trish had.
Oh.
And she, like 2 weekends ago, she got it on Sunday and was pretty much messed up the whole week.
Mm.
And then she was kind of getting better Friday night and Saturday morning. I wake up and I said, so it starts with a sore throat, huh? And she's like, damn it. Yes, it does. And then it went from there.
That's too bad.
But I'm feeling much better. I mean, I'm at that point now where I sound bad, but I feel good.
Okay. So,
for those of you just joining us, welcome to WebMD. what, kitten? What? You don't even know what's going on, but you know something's going on and you want to be involved. He wants you to pet him.
Okay.
Oh, kitten. Rejected. Anyway, for those of you just joining us at episode 238, that's weird, but cool. Welcome. We love all of our listeners.
Yes, we do.
Because there are few enough of them that we can, like, uniquely point out and identify and love all of them.
Yep.
Anyway, here's how this show works. We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, our listeners, the aforementioned ones we love, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and they write in with little things, little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. I think it's a bug. I hope it's a bug. because if it's a mouse, I'm kind of freaked out. We'll be able to tell pretty fast if it's a mouse, though, because he'll catch it, because he's really good with that.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a great mouser, but he won't kill it, and he wants to keep catching it, and that's kind of a problem. And he's deaf, so Ezzy has to, like, tip him off that they're there. So, anyway, embittered servants.
See? That's a good one.
Yeah.
You're getting better at this.
I'm preparing. Researching. Okay, now you're just being weird. I think they're chasing fairies. Anyway, we, its embittered servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. We do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. But, did you just attack a piece of paper and lose?
I think that's what happened.
Wow.
Very odd.
As my boss pointed out today, we don't really tend to draw them out for an hour. It hardly ever gets anything. And I think this week's going to be bad for that.
Why?
because a lot of new TV shows to talk about, and I saw 4 movies.
Okay. Well, go right on ahead.
How was your week, William?
It's good. Went down to the farm to celebrate my sister's birthday.
Oh, cool.
We flew kites. It was awesome.
Ooh.
You know,
flown a kite in years.
Last year, Iowa was number one in wind energy production. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not. That makes sense to me.
Oh, yeah. Of course it does.
We got a lot of wind farms here, and we're right, you know, Canada just blows down on us. That's why our winters are so goddamn cold.
Before Americans moved in to Iowa, it was mostly prairie. And there were a lot of reasons for that, but one reason was because trees didn't grow very well in Iowa because of the high winds.
Yep.
So, yeah, there is a lot of, or there used to be, a lot of very reliable and strong wind in Iowa. So it's not that surprising that it would be one of the top wind energy producers in the nation. And last year was number one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we flew kites, and that was kind of fun. And just, you know, we always have a very casual time down at the farm.
And everybody was there except Alaska brother, I'm guessing.
Yep, that's right. Well, cool. Sister-in-law wasn't there. She has a hard time making it on the weekends because she's a realtor, and so that's a big time for her.
Oh, that's prime time, yeah.
And
Realtor, that's how you're supposed to say it,
okay.
I believe.
And
based on commercials and stuff.
My youngest brother recently got engaged, and his fiance and soon-to-be stepchildren were not there. But they come sometimes.
I assume you've met them.
That we've met. We've met all of them. 3 girls, and they're really good kids, and his fiance is really nice, so... But they couldn't make it either. It was just us and my spouse. But yeah, it was a good time.
I know I get paranoid about this, but I'm getting nervous that you're not talking anywhere in the direction of the mic.
Oh, sorry.
But
I mean, other than that, I mean, we just doing what we're doing. Nothing like a whole bunch of shows and movies to talk about like what you've
been. Well, I was sick all weekend and then better for half a day on Monday and then sick for another day and a half. So... A lot of it was sitting around watching Netflix movies.
Well, let's hear it.
I want to talk about TV show first, because a lot of them have come up. Some of them I still haven't seen, but several of them I have. We have watched and already given up on Heroes Reborn and Minority Report.
Wow, I didn't even realize Heroes Reborn was back.
It was, and it's bad.
Okay. Well, we might try to watch it.
To quote the producer, in what I just think is the most beautiful critique and explanation of it ever, it is YA as fuck.
Oh.
It is all sorts of teenagers doing teenagery things. But there's just a whole bunch of stuff that it's bad. It very much is assuming that you're still the same level and type of interested that you were when you were watching Heroes, 6-7 years ago?
I don't know how long. It's been a long time.
It also paced horribly. The original one would introduce you to people. You know, this episode would be about 3 or 4 people, and then the next one would be about 3 or 4 others, and they'd be connected. And eventually we started moving. This one, in the 2-hour... It was a 2-hour premiere, but it was just 2 episodes.
Hmm.
Like, 15 people.
No way.
Yeah, it's just a mess. No idea. And I just didn't care. And it's, and they're all... Yeah, it's a lot of teen stuff. The original one had a couple of kids and then had adults.
Yeah.
This one is a lot of teenagers.
Hmm.
And just already hating that. So, yeah, we gave up on that real fast. And I gave up on the original Heroes way early. Like, a lot of people say the first season was good and then it got weird. I gave up just a few episodes into the first season. Trish stuck with it, I think, through season 2. So you'd expect her, that was the thing. I was like, if she wants to watch it, I will keep watching it with her. She immediately afterwards was like, I'm out.
What was the other show?
Minority Report.
Oh yeah.
Sad about that one. I now know why I'm sad about it. In my heart, this was essentially the spiritual continuation of Almost Human, but it really wasn't. Even to the degree they're both on Fox. But one was made by Warner Brothers and one was made by Fox. So, but it's really poorly written. And just, it's really poorly thought about because, for those of you who don't recall Minority Report, it's about a future situation in which weird shit happened and there are these three kids who can see the future and they hook them up to weird things so that they can predict people who are going to murder people and stop them and arrest them early. It's called pre-crime. And the story eventually is about how this is a terrible idea. Now this and is, they shut it down.
This is based on a novel or short story by someone.
By,
not Philip K. Dick.
No, it's not. I want to say Asimov. But
no, I don't think so.
I knew it. I absolutely knew who it was until you said something.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But one of the big ones. I hate that. It could be Dick. It could be Dick.
It's a, but it's someone. I mean, it's one
it's
of the
big ones.
The giants of early
it's
sci-fi.
It's a famous one, and it's
not
a good story.
Early, but
and it's
Asimov
not
era.
A terrible movie. It's not as good as I wanted it to be, but it's not bad.
Although the movie
with Tom Cruise,
it's the same thing
where it's a short story, and it's hard to stretch that at a feature length. But they did whatever. Peter Stormare is in it, and it's creepy, and that's always good. But the point, spoiler alert for Minority Report, is that they sort of uncover problems with this and why this would be a bad idea and it gets shut down. It's the plot of the book, plot of the movie. The TV show is about trying to do it again. And it's not an official thing. It's now the people who are psychic were out in isolation by themselves so nobody could mess with them, but one of them came back and is seeing visions and wants this cop to help him solve murders, and so they do that. But it's the same thing, and it's still just as shitty, except now they have a less clear vision, because it's a big point that, like, all three of them had a better picture, and that's a whole thing. There's going to be a whole plot line involving that, and I don't care. It's not very good. And it has Wilmer Valderrama in it, and I really wanted to see him do something again, because I loved Fez from that 70s show. And he's perfectly competent, but it just doesn't matter. And here's the sad thing. There's nothing on right now. Seriously, what the hell are you doing? That was some Matrix shit you were doing there. That's so squirrely tonight.
I don't know what he's doing.
There's not a lot on right now. We basically have to keep sitting around. What do you want to watch? Well, we still haven't watched the Doctor Who premiere yet. We're like, do you want to watch At Midnight or The Soup? And those are like our only options right now. So I'm like, we may keep watching this out of inertia because there's nothing else to watch. And near the end of the second episode, our female protagonist turns to our male protagonist and says, maybe you shouldn't wait in the car. And that was like the resolution thing, like because he was helpful this time. And I was like, no, it's dumb. We're out. It's stupid. And so we're done with that.
Well, we're watching, Call the Midwife, because we watched that streaming on Netflix, and we watched what's it called? How to Commit the Perfect Murder?
How to Get Away with Murder.
Or something like
Viola
that.
Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Trish watched the first season of that.
There's only been one as far as I know.
Okay. I'm sure that's going to get a second, though, because it was hugely popular.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, super good, but she's awesome.
Everybody performed well. I've watched a little bit. It's the usual problem of there's nobody that I like in it.
Yeah. Well, and
they're
her,
all terrible people.
And the characterization of her character is not very good. Yeah. But she's still so good to watch.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we can. And one of the reasons we gave it a shot was, okay, so there's a female lead. That's always good. Pretty positive. But then, you know, they have the college age pretty people in the background.
Yeah.
And there were an equal number of male and female people back there.
In general, it was a fairly diverse cast.
Yes. And now the characters are very two-dimensional. I mean, there's a dude bro frat boy kind of, I mean, and he's like that the entire first season. And then there's this woman who grew up on the bayou, but she wants to be treated like a princess, and that's how she kind of acts. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But but Davis is so good, and it's just.
Well, I think it's just compelling content too. It's a lot of intricacies. It's a mystery, but it's tied into those kind of interesting intricacies of law.
Yeah, it's too bad it's not written better because it's a great concept, but
it's a little pulpy in its way.
The representation is fairly good, and even though some of the female characters are stereotypically drawn, well, the male characters are too, which doesn't make it good, but it's. But you're not all,
it's
you know.
It's not necessarily a sexist issue. It's just a
quality issue. It's a bad writing issue. That's exactly right.
I think I talked last week that Killjoys ended, and it ended actually good.
Yeah, you did say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. So I would recommend that one to people. But
you saw four movies.
Well, and the other TV show we haven't seen. Oh, another TV show. Somebody's recommended is Blind Spot. And we haven't watched that. The critics don't like it.
I don't know.
I've had some people who... It's a weird... It's another one of those weird mysteries to be solved. This woman wakes up and she's got all these weird tattoos on her and she doesn't know how they got there.
Okay.
And I'm like, we're going to draw out the mystery forever and it's going to be like fucking Lost.
Oh, you know what? I saw something about that.
The critics don't like it.
Well, I think I saw something about that and my first impression wasn't very good. Probably not fairly... But my first thought was, okay, so we're going to have a female lead and immediately we're going to turn her into an object that needs to be read. Yeah. You know? I mean, this isn't even...
To be fair, it's
college-level criticism.
It's not a new trope and it's not a female-specific one. Dominion is all about that same thing with a guy. Now, I'm sure they're handling it differently and inappropriately. But I don't know. We may check that. We did watch Life in Pieces. New sitcom. And I think I'm going to recommend that. Here's what I'm going to say about it. It's very similar to Modern Family, and it is very clearly designed that way. Somebody's like, Modern Family's hugely successful. Let's make that. So they did. But what really brings it home is it's a hell of a cast. The matriarch and patriarch are Diane Wiest and James Brolin. We've got Colin Hanks in there. We've got Betsy Brandt in there. Jordan Peele has a recurring character.
I think you might have talked about this
show
before.
We already saw a guest spot from Rhys Darby and Stephanie Weir, who are both comedians we really
like. Didn't you say about this before that the big joke about it is that the 80s are weird?
No, that was Moonbeam City.
Oh, okay. No,
that's an animated one.
You talked about this
that also had an impressive cast.
But maybe you only said that you were going to watch it and you didn't.
Yeah, I'd been very curious about this just for the cast alone.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's cool exactly like Modern Family. And I eventually got sick of Modern Family, so I may get sick of this too. But if you like Modern Family, check this out. If you like those people, check it out. And I still want to check out The Grinder. I haven't watched that yet. Another sitcom, Fred Savage and Rob Lowe. I think I talked about that.
Yeah, you did mention it.
But we haven't watched that one yet. And that's pretty much it for new stuff, except new season of Fargo is going to happen this month. And I want to see that because I really like the first season of that. So that's it. Yeah, I saw four movies. Three of them are utter shit.
Wow.
Three of them two of them are horror movies off of Netflix that you've never heard of. One of them is an action movie off of Netflix that you've never heard of. So I watched something called Satanic. It was terrible. Watched something called Agency of Vengeance. It was also terrible. I watched something called Hellgate. That was terrible, but I'm going to talk about that one. Because the weird part about it is I read about it like a week before, but didn't realize. I was on a site, I think I was on Something Awful, and reading basically reviews of really terrible movies that just basically make fun of the movie. Because I find those amusing. And I read this, and I didn't put it together, but I started watching this movie, and I got this sense, I'm like, I haven't seen this, but I feel like somebody told me about this, and I finally put it together. And the movie is most notable for having a protagonist played by the gentleman who is best known of playing Horshack on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Wow.
Yes. He as the big leading male.
Really?
Yes. Him later on. It's an adult him in this. As near as I can tell, the only other thing he ever did. I don't know. He probably did more, but that's all. And it really can't decide if it's... I feel like it thinks it might be a comedy horror, but it's hard to tell because it's really poorly made. But there are just bits where, like, I don't know, maybe he just played it that way because he's naturally a comedian, but there are bits that I'm like, we're going for a joke here. Because there's like a thing where some guy is trying to kill him, and it's very much a, this guy misunderstood something, and so he's trying to kill him, and if he can explain it to him, it won't be a thing, but the guy's not stopping to listen, and so eventually, after a really lame action scene of that, he just stops and looks at him and says, can we talk? In his heavy, heavy accent. like Jersey accent going on and stuff like that. And there's a running bit where he tells his friend he's an asshole, and he's like, no, really, I mean it. Hey, welcome to the part of the show where William goes and gets my dinner from the door.
Hey, how's it going, sir? You had the pasta bowl in the shrimp basket?
That's me.
Awesome, this is beautiful. Yep, you guys enjoy, have a good day.
But I hate to disappoint you guys, I'm not going to eat on the show tonight. I'm going to save it for later. Yeah, so there are just times where I'm like, I think it's supposed to be cute or whatever. It's a very 80s creation, and kind of funny for that. So, Hellgate on Netflix. And then the other thing I watched, which I did want to speak to, it's a recent movie, like a year or two ago in the theaters. And Trish had watched it without me, thinking I wasn't interested in seeing it, but I actually was, and she apparently liked it well enough she wanted to watch it again, so we watched it. It's called This Is Where I Leave You. It is a comedy. It is of the genre, I will say, adult children go back to their parents' home and hijinks ensue and everybody learns valuable lessons about their family and deals with bullshit that's been going on since they were kids kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know that as sort of a genre.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason it stood out at the time is a hell of a cast. Siblings include Tina Fey, Jason Bateman, the guy who is the villain in Ant-Man. I don't remember his name, but he's in a bunch of stuff right now, and I really like him. He was also in House of Cards for a while. The mom is played by Jane Fonda. There's a couple other really big names in it. Rose Byrne's in it. And what I had heard, what critics were saying, is that it's a really poorly made, or it's a really poorly written movie that is balanced out by the fact that it's an incredible cast that does an incredible job in their performances. And I'm going to 100% agree with that. And I do come out on the side of saying I think I like it, and I think I recommend it. It is on HBO right now, so if you have HBO Go, you can watch it there.
But you don't think it was particularly well written?
I feel like it was messy, but it was a really good cast of people that I really know and like, and they did incredible jobs with it. So it was pretty neat for that. And honestly, it's the kind of thing I always thought Tina Fey could do, but I never really got to see. Because it's a comedic role, but it's a real one. Like, Tina Fey is hilarious and brilliant, but if you look at any character she has in a movie, you don't really feel like that person could be a real person. They're always a little too silly, you know?
Right.
This one felt real, and it had an authenticity to it that I always thought she probably had, but like really got it in this one. She is largely Jason Bateman is the POV character. And she's sort of secondary and she sort of has her own subplot, but it's pretty well done. And she's got some great lines. I don't know. The cats are just up tonight. I don't know what that's about. They're chasing each other around, flipping out. Yeah, so that's all the stuff I saw. I'm still playing the same video games, reading the same books. Yeah. So that's it.
Oh, yes. You saw Mad Max?
Fury Road? Had you not seen that yet?
No.
Oh my god, you buried the lead. Talk. What did you think?
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, really?
Not even a little bit.
How was your significant other?
Also didn't like it.
Really? Yeah. Speak to that. Because as near as I can tell, you are the first two people in the world not to like that movie.
Well,
it is ridiculously popular.
I know.
Like, even to the degree, I didn't like it as well as most people do, but even I liked it.
No, I didn't like it at all. I mean, I can see how someone who likes the other Mad Max movies would have loved it. I can see that.
Okay.
But I didn't particularly like the other Mad Max movies. And this was just another Mad Max movie. So what was there to like about it? I mean, what was different about it that would make a person who wouldn't normally like Mad Max movies like this movie?
Oh, I doubt there is anything. Other than, again, the fact that this is, although it is sort of hidden, but the argument is that it's actually a female lead in this one.
Mm.
That she is the main character, that it is her story.
Mm.
But I don't think that's a reason to like or dislike a movie. That's something to appreciate that a movie did.
Sure, I guess.
But it's not, but I mean, like, I would love this movie if you just changed the gender of the main character. Like, that isn't a thing, I don't think, and shouldn't
I think
be a thing.
It feels like having a crumb thrown at you, you know, and what are you going to do with it? And if you don't do anything with it, it's, like you said, it's nice, you know? Yeah. It's
well, but it doesn't change the fundamental of the movie. If you don't want a crazy, psychotic action film, then, yeah, it's not for you.
Well, where I didn't even think the effects were all that great. I mean, there wasn't anything good about it. It wasn't written well.
I enjoyed the effects.
No, I didn't.
It was written nebulously.
Well, again,
which again is a Mad Max thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think all the things I didn't like about it are things that a Mad Max fan would like about it, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
So my dislike.
It also got a lot of praise because the effects were almost entirely practical, and people really liked it.
Well, and I did appreciate that, honestly.
Because there's some amazing shit
I'll give it that, and I did admire that. But over, I think the reason I didn't like it is just a matter of taste. It's not that it was good, bad, or anything.
I don't think it's... I'm guessing you're right. It's not a quality movie. It's a type of movie.
Yeah, exactly. Which wasn't my kind of thing. Yeah. And the only reason we tried to watch it in the first place was because we heard so much...
Because of the hype, yeah.
Well, so many positive things about Charlize Theron's character and whatever. Yeah. And we watched it and we thought, we've seen this quote-unquote strong female character 1,000 times. And she's escorting these women... you know, who are supposed to be the wives of this guy or whatever, which is fine. That's all fine and good. And it seemed like it would have been a perfectly legitimate thing in the plot to give these women more clothes. but they were scantily dressed and provocatively dressed the whole time, which I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but in terms of it being kind of a pro-woman or even partly feminist thing, I would think that they would have grabbed some decent clothes for them to wear, you know. But it seemed to me that the filmmakers didn't want them to be wearing a lot of clothes, because that was part of having them in the movie, was that they looked sexy the whole time.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I could come up with an apologist argument for it pretty easily. And it does seem like a really specific thing. So,
well, like, the point is that...
There's definitely some problems. Well, and the big one... That Trish pointed out to me, right, because when I left it, I was kind of in a hate, and I'm like, I know there's stuff I'm missing that's wrong, but I can't figure out what it is right now. And Trish said, do you want me to tell you? And I said, sure. And she said, there were no female bad people.
That's interesting.
In the movie, the morality, not that there couldn't be good men, there were some, but all the evil stuff was all male.
That's true.
Women were just... Yep. Default good.
That's right. That seems,
and that's a little messed up.
Yeah, that's problematic too.
But we did a lot of fun stuff with some women in this.
No,
and we had some
true.
Cool characters besides Charlize Theron. And actually, the fact, I found it interesting, it was tied up in problematic stuff, but we had a bunch of essentially concubines who had been that way basically their whole lives and that were being rescued. And we played with that some. They weren't quite two-dimensional, and some of them had some interesting character aspects to them. Some of them did not, and some of them were problematic. But we did more with it than a lot of movies would have done in a similar situation.
No, I totally agree. What I'm saying, though, is, and again, I think when I say that we didn't like it, it's more of a personal taste thing than anything else. And going in expecting that there was going to be something, you know... that would impress us from a feminist perspective, and then there wasn't. Well, then
I could have warned you about
that. All that leaves is, a Mad Max movie, which we're not normally interested in. So
no, I'm not. I wouldn't call it a hyper feminist movie. I would say for an action movie, it did some great stuff. It's on the scale of action movie, I feel like it's pretty high up there. I couldn't give you one that I think does better.
Well, I think it passed the Bechdel test, for example, which is good. There was
it definitely passed the sexy lamp test.
I don't know what that is.
That's a newer one that somebody's come up. Basically, any main female characters, could you replace them with a sexy lamp? Basically, some attractive prop and have the same effect. There's a lot of movies where you could just come up with some sort of prop MacGuffin, and other than the sex appeal, there would be no difference.
Yeah, I mean, even though I'm saying I think that the women were deliberately scantily clad throughout the movie, I'm not saying that you could have replaced any of them with an object whatever. Yeah. And even though they were the thing in the film that was being protected and moved from one place to another, they weren't entirely objectified. They had some agency. They did some stuff. Well,
but I think the entire negotiation of that was a plot point.
Yeah.
And like I said before, horrific guy, horrific villain, terrible villain. We never watched him abusing or raping or even attempting to rape anyone.
That's true.
And that was just refreshing because in no way did it take away from him being awful. No,
that's right.
And I just like I just like that as proof of concept. I'm like, see, you can totally have a villain just as horrible as the one you had before, and we don't have to show him raping someone.
No.
Or even trying to.
We don't have to show it or even trying to.
And he can still just be as terrible and fearful a villain as he was before.
And yet, the dramatic element related to the women was still about sex
and rape and stuff.
And that's still... You know, you don't have to show it, and that's like you said, proof of concept. But it still was a very, you know, that's a very strong trope.
Yes, it is.
That you can't, you know, that you can't seem to get away from in modern entertainment. But you know, I think our expectations were totally unrealistic. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the film if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's misogynistic or anything like that. I'm just saying we only had one reason to watch it, and that reason wasn't there, and it's just not our thing.
Yeah.
But other people like it, that's fine. We also saw Under the Skin with...
So you saw two movies and you weren't even talking about
them. Well, I saw these a couple weeks ago, actually.
Why didn't you mention them?
I don't know. I forgot.
I'm super curious about Under the Skin. I haven't seen it yet. I know a lot about sort of like how it was put together and stuff, and I find it interesting. What did you think?
Well, I don't know if I should tell you if you're going to watch it.
Well, I pretty much know the plot, such as it
is. I'm not worried about you. We didn't like it at all.
Okay.
At all. Not on any level.
I'm willing to believe that that's a possibility.
Not writing, not acting, not what I would describe. Editing, not
The big thing anything. I'm worried about is that I feel like I might get really bored.
Well, I don't know if you'll get bored or not. I mean, I would. I don't know if I'd criticize the pacing, because it's definitely a more artistic kind of film. And when I say that, one of the things I usually mean is one of the things that people who are making a film that they're really trying to make it, I don't know, artistic or a piece of art is, they really play with the pacing, right? The camera lingers in certain places. You get these long shots of people doing nothing but walking across a scene and things like that. And there's definitely that. But I wouldn't say that's the film's problem. I mean, another thing we've been doing quite a bit lately has been we've been watching a lot of Scandinavian films.
Okay.
You know, like Troll Hunter and things like that. Oh God, although I haven't seen Troll Hunter, but I think I want to see it because...
Go for it. We hated it. Oh, Trish really hated it. I just kind of didn't like it.
Well, there's two other films I have seen that I really liked that are similar in that they're Scandinavian, and they deal with some kind of mythological thing.
And I love that idea. That's why we watched Troll
Hunter. Yeah.
That concept. Well, what are the other two?
Well, the guy who made Troll Hunter made another one called... I can't remember the name of it.
It's Scandinavian. It could have been called...
Yeah, exactly. And another one wasn't made by the same guy, but it's a similar thing. But anyhow, a lot of these films are very well made. And one thing they like to do is, you know, stick the camera in one place and let a scene play out, or let when one person says something, let a lot of time pass before the other person says it. And they actually do it very well. It gives a lot of dramatic weight to what's going on without it seeming contrived, because there are a lot of things like that, that artistic stuff that you can get by with on a theater stage.
Yeah.
That you can't get by with in film because it just looks stupid. But some people can do it in film and it looks like at once you get the sense that it's artistic, but you also get the sense that this could really be how it happened.
Yeah.
And
there are times where you get shots like that and things and you're like, they're not trying to, the only statement they're trying to make is look how artistic.
Yeah, exactly.
I find that in a lot of
'70s
art films.
Yeah. Right.
Because everybody at the time was like, oh, artsy means you wait a long time before you change shots.
Well, you might feel this way about Under the Skin. You might feel that way about Under the Skin.
Well, and closely tied to that is I get bored real fast with that. I'm like, okay, we've established it, move on.
Okay, well, then yeah, it might bore you. But to me, that's not the main criticism of it. It's just, to me, that it has absolutely no substance whatsoever. I don't even know why they think you're going to be engaged in watching this you're a total cinema snob and you just love artsy cinema. Yeah. I know what kinds of things those people like in films, because I like even some of the same things in artistic films.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything like that. I didn't see any good composition. I didn't see any interesting editing. I didn't see any kind of abstract or even surreal storytelling elements or anything like that. I just saw a person shooting a scene. It didn't even seem like it was composed very well, and keeping the camera there for what seemed like far too long, even by an artistic standard, and not really telling a compelling or interesting story. So I don't know why this film was even that popular, because it seemed like it would totally fly.
I'll tell you exactly why it's popular, and it's why it originally hit my radar. A lot of naked Charlize Theron.
Or
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
Why do I always mix them up?
That's weird. I don't know, because they look very different. But
no,
yes,
but I do that a lot with the two of them.
There is a lot of
yes,
naked
and that's
Scarlett
what
Johansson.
Drew a lot, and a lot of people watch it literally just for that. What intrigued me, and I don't.
But I mean, there's so much more.
I'm not
male
sure
nudity
about this.
And, I mean,
because correct me if I'm wrong on this, and this is going to be a spoiler for the plot of that movie, of which the plot is less of a thing. But Charlize Theron, God damn it.
Scarlett Johansson.
It's because of Mad Max earlier.
Yeah, maybe.
ScarJo.
ScarJo.
Is an alien.
Mm-hmm.
In ScarJo's body. In a ScarJo-looking body. And she essentially picks up people at bars and then sort of abducts them.
On the street.
Oh, on the street.
And for as far as acting goes, she did fine, by the way.
But, and here's the thing.
The film just wasn't very good. To me.
Supposedly, with the exception of, I believe, the last one, because I think some stuff happens with the last one. Supposedly, all of those picking people up things are genuine strangers.
Now, I heard that, but I find that very hard to believe.
I also, given what I know of sort of how things go, I'm like, so they had to do that like 500 times and then convince this set of people, because it goes on from there. In weird ways and stuff.
Now, the acting is good enough that you could believe that that's true, but then there's something that happens later that they had to have convinced this person to do, which wasn't, I mean, this part was clearly acting.
Yeah.
And
no, that's what I was
getting. And involves nudity.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was getting. So I'm like, so they did the pickup
like
scene.
Like full frontal nudity.
And then
even.
They took them into a room and said, okay, we're making a movie and here's what we need to do. That's why I said they have to do it like 500 times and these are the dozen people who agreed to do the rest of it. But the other problem, of course, is she looks like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
But that was the part that intrigued me. I mean, I've learned more about it. It seems less and less plausible, but that intrigued me.
Well, I mean, if someone insisted that's how it actually went and that they actually did convince these guys to do this, okay. I mean, I can kind of believe it based on how the interactions went, but good actors can interact that way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I you know. And as far as her looking like Scarlett Johansson, you might be surprised about stuff like that. At the same time, though, she was on camera, and she was all made up, so she probably looked more like Scarlett Johansson than she normally does.
Would with that. Yeah.
So you're probably right about that aspect of it. Like, how can you not know that that's Scarlett Johansson because she's made up like Scarlett Johansson?
But if it did have to be like a hidden camera thing, that might explain some of the composition issues.
No, I don't think it would. Because weird. I mean, yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get to it.
We didn't like it. I mean, we couldn't see anything redeemable about it at all. I mean, again, Scarlett Johansson did an okay job. We don't care about nudity in films. That's actually a strike against it for us.
But and for people under the age of 50, you're in the minority of people who don't care about that. Because, and I haven't seen it, and like I said, I'm not sure I would like it, but I will totally admit it appeared on my radar and I started looking into it because I heard there was a lot of Scarlett Johansson nudity in it.
Mm-hmm,
and is. I'm also not going to lie, I've seen clips and shots from it for that specific reason.
No, yeah.
Because
well,
as we've established on this show before, people,
I'm sure there's plenty of those.
I'm a pervert. I may be an intelligent pervert. I may be a feminist pervert. I'm still a pervert. By the way, I am a feminist pervert. I won't claim to be intelligent specifically because that would be immodest. But I am.
Because that would be immodest.
Today, I was told that I was the best. And I said, I am the best. People forget that. I need a shirt that says I am the best.
But you'd only be able to wear that shirt every so often. Which you
no, because I'm always the best.
You need a lanyard that says I'm the best on it.
That would work. I'm the best around. Keep me down. You know, this has ruined my life. I think I've talked before that the hairs on my arms stand up when I watch the final scene in Karate Kid.
Okay.
And that's I use that as an example for a certain kind of emotional state that I have a hard time describing that is partially excitement and partially kind of embarrassment.
Okay.
That I get from that movie because I'm very excited about the end, but I also know how cheesy it is. And I'm kind of embarrassed that I, like, my heart rate quickens when I see that scene. And there's a few things like that. I'm like, this is awesome. And I feel really dumb that I think this is awesome, but I still feel like it's awesome. But that scene's been ruined for me because it's absolute bullshit. The rules, well, basically the rules of any competition like that, but the rules explicitly stated in the movie include the fact that you can't kick people in the head. So that last shot, he would absolutely be immediately disqualified. like it, ironclad. This is none of like, if we look back to it, no, that's the rules listed in the sport, and he literally just kicks him in the head.
I'm surprised to find out that you're embarrassed of anything that you're excited about. That doesn't sound like you.
I get better as I get older, but...
But why would you be embarrassed about things?
Well, it's not... See, it's an embarrassment. It's a personal embarrassment. It's not, I'm embarrassed people will know about it. It's, I think this is awesome. At the same time, I think this is really dumb. Like,
okay.
I am annoyed at myself for finding it
awesome, basically. But why?
Because some stuff is really stupid.
Yeah. And that
and
makes
should
it not
be... Yeah, oh. Some stuff... Yeah. No, I there's see. Some stuff that's awesome and stupid, and it's both
so
those
you would
things,
think, you would
and
think,
I know it is.
You would think
fine.
Someone else was stupid for thinking it was
absolutely,
awesome?
Absolutely, yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. I
except
get it.
Except that I'd be like, but I know what you feel. Like, no, there are definitely examples. Here's an example. Flash Gordon, the movie.
Yeah.
Flash Gordon, the movie, is really stupid.
Okay.
Flash Gordon, the movie, is really awesome. And I feel perfectly fine stating my opinions on that.
Yeah.
I don't feel embarrassed to say... That movie's dumb. The movie's also freaking awesome. Holy shit, that movie. Brian Blessed with wings and shit. Queen music. Oh, it's awesome. That movie's so awesome. Hot Hail. Like, it's amazing. Love that movie. But then there's other things that I'm just like, why? I get excited about it. And I'm like, why would you get excited about this? This is stupid. You know? It's... I suppose an equivalent, and weirdly, I don't think I have too many of these things, but there are probably things out there where people discover they have a particular, like, sexual fetish, but one that they really wish they didn't have because it's, like, really dumb. I think I even read a thing one time where somebody, oh, no, it was an article from a male porn star, and he ended up doing a thing with somebody that they hadn't planned that involved clown makeup, and he found it really hot, and he's like, so that's how I found out I apparently have a clown fetish, and I really wish I had never learned that. And so that's the more extreme version, but it's the same kind of thing. It's like, I find out that I really find it thrilling and exciting for this, and I think that's a really dumb thing for me to find.
Well, is that the same thing as what a lot of people call a guilty pleasure? Like,
I think it is along those lines, yes. I think it is along those lines.
Like a person that doesn't want anyone to know, they love Thriller.
Yes.
The album Thriller. They like to play it and when nobody's around and they don't want anyone to know, they're a huge fan.
Yeah, but fuck those guys because Thriller's an awesome album.
No, I'm just saying, I think I've heard... That's
reality
why I even
TV
heard.
Is a common one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I would say the emotional state I am attempting to explain is one that one gets from a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose the emotion could be described as guilty pleasure. Thank you. You solved a descriptive issue I've had for literally decades.
Well, you hear people talk about that all the time. Like, I don't really want anyone to know this, but I have got to watch Days of Our Lives every single day. Anybody knows this about me, and I don't want them to know because I'm embarrassed about it because
it's a guilty pleasure.
I'm personally, and again, it's not a status thing. Like, they think they're going to lose status.
Except nowadays, people misuse that phrase all the time.
Yeah, it's more of a...
When they want to brag about something stupid that they consume, they're like, oh, my guilty pleasure is
Yeah. No,
but yeah, but the true nature of guilty pleasure, I think that's exactly what I'm talking about. But and it becomes a physical thing. My heart rate goes up, the hairs stand up and stuff. But not now that I realize Daniel's just fucking disqualified. Because he kicked him in the head, which is not okay. Like, no. So, screw that. All right, hat.
Okay. Drawing from the hit.
Drawing from the hit.
Okay, Anonymous.
Yes?
If the sitcom Three's Company was rebooted this year, who would you cast for the main three cast members plus the landlord character?
Oh, well, this is fascinating.
And the landlord's wife. I mean, you
well, except when Mr. Furley took over, Mr. Furley didn't have a wife.
Well, that was Don Knotts or something, right?
Yes, that was Don Knotts, and he was single.
Yeah.
The original landlord, Mr. Roper, had Mrs. Roper, and then they got their own spinoff show.
Yeah.
Which had a very young Jeffrey Tambor on it.
So you don't want to cast the landlord?
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I love this. First thing. Nobody should ever reboot Three's Company.
But we're rebooting it as a sitcom, not like a film or something.
No. We're just bringing back the show, yeah.
Sitcom.
Nobody should do that. I loved that show like a person as a kid, and I don't begrudge its existence. It was the dumbest, least believable thing ever.
You know,
I watched
that when I was a kid too, and then when I got older and watched it again or like in syndication or whatever, I remember thinking, I can't believe my parents let me watch this show.
I know, right?
Because there wasn't. Now sometimes
it was filthy.
Yeah, some shows you watch. And there's a few things in it that you know is going to go over a kid's head or whatever. This wasn't anything but innuendo and
except
stuff
it was.
Like that.
It was one thing besides innuendo. It was a bunch of John Ritter slapstick. And that's why as kids we liked it as well.
Yeah, I suppose
But it's such a weird mix. But I remember even at that age, not necessarily getting the jokes, but I got the sense that they were grown-up jokes. And I liked feeling like I was involved.
Well, the jokes. I got the jokes about them pretending he was gay.
No, I totally didn't get that till much later.
No, I was quite a bit older than you, obviously, when I was watching it, but I don't know how I got it because it's not like we talked about homosexuality in my house or in our school,
or like we were explicit about it on the show. I don't think we ever used the word gay on the show.
But I knew exactly what it meant. I knew exactly what they meant and what they were saying about him, and I thought those things were kind of funny. You know, especially when Mr. Roper would talk about, he would never say Ritter's character's name?
Jack Tripper.
Okay, he would never say he was gay. He would just do like gestures.
Fruity.
or do things with his hand and stuff.
This was always
kind of humorous.
Well, this
I knew exactly what they were talking about.
That I've discovered, and this is going way off topic, but it's our show, so fuck you. I've just discovered it recently. So, here's the thing. I am not, I believe, homophobic.
Okay.
This is good for me for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is I'm bi.
Yeah.
But I believe this. Now, I personally have issues with male sexuality, and it's been a problem for me, which is why I haven't had a lot of male partners.
Okay.
and those are my issues. But, I mean, I have... I don't believe I have any particularly strong prejudice against any queer individuals.
Or fear. I mean,
Homophobic. I'm not scared.
Particularly a fear.
I'm not scared of gay dudes. I'm not scared of, you know,
of being hit on by a gay man or whatever.
Way more scared of straight men. I'm scared of men in general, which is part of it, but whatever. I, growing up, did a lot of... Aren't homosexuals hilarious? Especially homosexual men are hilarious. This was a thing. And this is born out of a homophobic culture, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I catch myself still doing it.
Hmm.
Me and another guy will start making jokes about, like, being the two of us being gay and things like that. And I'm like, what? Why? But I still find it funny, and I don't really understand. I mean, I think it may be my whole everybody's a little bit racist kind of thing. And to the degree that I love women, I think I still essentially was raised straight in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's one of those things, like I'm a little bit homophobic in ways I don't even understand. Because it just seems, I'm like, why do I still find that funny? And I don't entirely. Pitch Perfect 2... David Cross plays an incredibly stereotyped gay character, and it bothered the shit out of me.
It seemed incredibly
unfunny.
There might be other things going on here, though, because...
I also think Paul Lynde is one of the most hilarious men ever to live. So, you know?
But not
Harvey Fierstein.
But not because he's gay.
Except his act is totally built into that. Same with Harvey
Fierstein. Can't be, I guess, sure. But here's...
Into the stereotype.
I think there are other things at work here, though, because... Something about gay, male homosexually oriented humor in general subverts the patriarchy in a way. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do actually. And I think you may be on to something. In general, you can, even if it's comical. Well, that's the thing actually in that book that I still haven't read about straight men having sex together. you can pass it off as a joke. And then be, I mean, like, you know, it's a joke or whatever, but I can say something nice about my male friend in the guise of, it's because I have the hots for him because I'm such a fag, you know, but it gives me the chance to actually do that. And I certainly can't do that just day to day. Like, you look good.
That's true. But also there's this, a lot of times the things that are joked about subvert masculinity in general and the idea of masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So
And I'm all about fucking subverting masculinity.
So
my entire life is running away from masculinity.
It's problematic when two men are pretending to be gay back and forth and making a joke. But when you also see that they're, like you said, there's a way for them to compliment each other where they should be able to without that
or
pretense.
Have physical conduct.
And they're in some ways, there's even a subtle criticism of masculinity in general. So it serves some very interesting and even positive purposes, but that doesn't justify, of course, the problematic aspects. But those things are there, and it makes it complicated for, you know, a guy like you perhaps to completely process.
I'm at a family gathering. I think it was a birthday of my niece or nephew or something, and my wife's sister's father-in-law. So my brother-in-law's dad.
Okay.
No actual relation to me whatsoever. But, you know, the families are there because everybody's some kid. Not in that picture. But the son is.
Yeah.
The dark blue shirt, his dad.
His dad, okay.
Pentecostal minister. I believe I've spoken about him before. we put on a nice face. We could possibly more disagree, but we just sit around in our folksy and it's fine. We're on the couch, and I think I put my arm up back on the couch. I don't remember what started, but something about my position or whatever. We did the funny bit where he pretended he was going to snuggle up with me. And as he was doing it, I remember even consciously thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here, see how long he can hold it. The answer to that was approximately half a second. Mm-hmm. And I made some joke later about it. Like, I wondered how long you were going to... And he was like, well, you know, I just did it long enough for the joke. I'm like, because he got out of there real fast. And I was really surprised he did it. I was not surprised at how short he did it. But yeah, that kind of stuff comes up. Well, and I've said, and I say this with a lot of friends, I don't have this with you, because again, you're not normal. But I really, like, my other good male friend, well, I've got a few, but like Dan and Ben, the two from my gaming group, are big ones. I have this problem that I've always had, is that my friendships with other men is all about insulting each other. And it's always in a joking way, but it's constant.
Hmm.
And I don't like it, but I can't even seem to stop myself from doing it. Like, frequently, I'm the one who initiates it, and I can't seem to not do it. And it's something in my perspective on men and male relationships.
Well, I mean, you sometimes do that with me.
I do that with you. I do that with everybody.
But I just laugh, and it's a joke.
And I don't do it as consistently with you. I'd say I do it with you about as much as I do it with any friend, including female friends. But like Ben and I, like, we can't, we're always giving each other shit. Dan and I totally give each other shit. And it takes a conscious effort for me to, like, stop and I can only do it when it's like, okay, we're going to talk about something serious, so let's stop now. But just in the normal conversation, I slip back into it all the time. I don't know what that is. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time left. We should probably address
the
question.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know who is really big in TV right now.
Let's not do that. Let's see who you would want to see in those. Of actors you know, who do you think could fill those roles well?
But I think the question, I mean, that's too broad. I think the question really specifically, it says rebooted this year.
Yeah.
So they want to know if... TV show, who would you cast? And I, you know, like, what's the character? The male Jack?
Jack Tripper.
Like, you know, I don't know. It would have to be a young actor, probably not big in film because he would never do TV, you know.
Yeah.
So,
there's a physical comedy aspect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is too old, or I'd say he's perfect.
Yeah,
he's perfect. Can we get a young Ryan Reynolds?
Who is the young Ryan Reynolds?
That's what I'm just trying to.
Yeah, think that of there here. Probably is somebody.
Sorry, I'm getting snotty. There is who's. I almost want to say Zac Efron, but I don't quite feel that right.
Well,
I don't know.
It would be interesting to see him try because I've seen him in a lot of things, and he's got some range. So maybe he could do it.
But I feel like some of the more gangly young men thing we have going on, a Sam Levine, a Jay Baruchel, TJ Qualls, one of those guys I could see doing it. I feel like that gives it the millennial vibe a little bit.
I gotcha.
The two feet, Chrissy and
Janet?
Janet, there you go. I knew it was a J. I was like, Joanna?
Now this is where... You can try to stay really true to Jack's character, but I think it'd be really hard to stay true to the other two characters. No.
Well, except, again, I could have done it. If you could get me back far enough that I can cast Ryan Reynolds, I just put Anna Faris in as Chrissy immediately.
Hmm.
And she's all set. But again, I think she's skewing older now. It doesn't work right.
Well, but I don't know if the ditzy blonde thing works anymore.
The entire premise doesn't work anymore.
No, but as you pointed out, the premise, that's 70s. Right, that's right. So that we're setting the...
I know, so I'm assuming we're running with it.
We're setting the premise aside. I see what you're saying, but I think...
I'm saying what's good for the goose. if we're going to do the show, we're going to have the fucking ditzy blonde. and the good news is we don't need to have an actor that's good because it's not a hard part to play. But yeah, I don't know a lot of the young people.
Oh, you know, for Janet and Chrissy, it would be again, if you went back far enough, it would be cool to have Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
That would be awesome. Oh my God, that would be so awesome.
That would be great.
Screw it. Let's cast them now. Who cares? Let's do that.
And I think they'd love doing it, too.
Let's do the hell out of that.
I think they'd love doing it. Well, then, if they were Janet and Chrissy, then who would you cast as Jack in that case?
I want to say Jimmy Fallon, but I don't feel like that's right. Then I want to say Seth Meyers. And honestly, I do believe he could do really well, but I do believe I'm extrapolating. I don't think he's shown us that.
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, my God. You nailed it.
That might work.
So to answer your question, we don't know the young people, but who cares? If you have to say they're older or whatever, that's fine. Do it with them. Although we do realize there's a bit of an age gap even there, but that's fine. You can work right there. No, because that's the one thing Justin Timberlake can really do well is also be funny.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of vibe. Yes, make that. Let's do that.
And the landlord.
Oh, yeah, landlord.
Now, see, the thing about
the landlord's easy. Fucking Nick Offerman. And we can just stick Megan Mullally as Mrs. Roper. Hells yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
We're just there. Like, yeah.
That would be great.
What I'm slowly realizing here.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome.
Maybe Parks and Rec is basically Three's Company. Maybe. Is that what
maybe,
we're saying here?
Maybe. But the slapstick comes with like Chris Pratt, and you're not going to get him in TV again, probably.
No, although he would actually be really awesome, Jack Tripper.
Yes, he would. I was going to say him, but I thought you'd never get him.
But Justin Timberlake will commit. I'm not saying he'd be good at slapstick, but he'd be willing to hurt himself.
What's the one gal's name? Audrey.
Oh, and that's how it really is. It's probably Andy Samberg. Andy Samberg probably plays Jack Tripper. That's probably who gets cast. It's not my first pick, but I think it would work. Yeah, dude, if you could do The Odd Couple today with Matthew Perry and Tom, why did I lose his name now?
I love him. I don't know what you're talking about.
Tom. This is ridiculous. Ben-Gurion and Tom. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, The Odd Couple remake. I told you about it. We watched it. I think it's going to get a second season.
Oh.
And it was kind of cute. If you can do that, do this. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. And any of the other, Justin Timberlake, Chris Pratt, Andy Samberg, whoever you can get, we don't care. And then Nick and Megan. And that's the thing, you will lock them in. They'll do it. They'll do it.
And
I'm not sure about any of the others, but they'll do it.
Be great. That would be really good.
So make that show. Good plan, Anonymous. Work on
it. I mean, it'd get one season probably because it's so stupid and ridiculous, but it would be really fun to watch for people who are fans of those people.
Yeah.
I think. That's hilarious.
Okay. So that's it. We're over time. I want to eat my dinner. So if you would like to ask us something, do it. We always need that stuff. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us your casting choices because, well, you don't have to bother. We nailed it. But if you can think of something, go ahead. Also, like us on Facebook because... also listen again next week and I got nothing.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.